Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The White Sox immediately embark on a managerial search. I think they've got one guy circled, and I think it is A.J. Hinch. And I think it would be a home run hire. Bob Nightingale had a story last night saying that they were going to reach out to Tony La Russa. I think that is a similar story to the one that was planted because Jerry Reinsdorf was being nice to his buddy Jerry Colangelo by throwing Brian Colangelo's name out there for their GM job or their executive vice president job when they were searching back in the spring when the Bulls decided to shake things up. Remember, Yurk, one, there was a report, Brian Colangelo, and we said, what? Brian Colangelo, he's a pariah. He's blackballed. He can't. No, and then the minute you start to think about it, you know, uh-huh. Well, yeah, Jerry Colangelo probably called Jerry Reinsdorf and said, hey, do me a solid. Old-time friends.
Do me a favor.
Do me a solid, and Jerry, being a mensch, Reinsdorf said, okay, I'll do you a solid. We'll get Brian's name out there. No shot. Same thing here. They're not hiring Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa hasn't managed in a decade. That would be like Gar Foreman saying we're going to get younger and more athletic and then signing Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade.
Isn't he sipping on soup nowadays?
He's 77.
What's going on?
Rick Hahn said we're going to go for a guy. You know, we want new age thinking. We want a manager that can embrace the analytics and someone who's got recent championship pedigree. Let's hire a guy who hasn't managed in 10 years who's going on 80. No, it doesn't work that way. So that's not going to happen. I think A.J. Hinch is the man that they want to hire. And I think that it would be a home run hire for the White Sox. They need to find a new pitching coach, too, Yurko. So,
well, Don Cooper's no longer here.
Don Cooper's gone after I don't know how many years in the organization. A long time.
Well, if the apocalypse ever was upon us, I'm betting on Don Cooper to survive.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
My heavens.
Some guys know how to navigate those tough
times. La cucaracha.
312-332-3776. That's the phone number. Thoughts on what the White Sox should do if you think A.J. Hinch is going to be the guy they hire. And if you can deal with that as a Sox fan. I heard from one person last night who suspected that maybe they leaked A.J. Hinch's name very quickly just to kind of gauge the fans' reaction. Now, I don't think
like
that's going
to
matter.
Sock to
see
which way it's blowing.
Like, let's just see what our fans are saying about it. We'll go out in the blogosphere and we'll check.
I think they're fine.
Put on Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie and Cap and Hoodie and... You know, we'll kind of hear what they're saying. And I don't think it's going to influence their decision. I mean, it shouldn't influence your decision, quite frankly. Do what you think is best. The object here is to win and to find the best manager.
Championships, Carm.
Championships.
You'll do anything to win, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, you will. Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Even cheat. Yes, you would. You just said, yeah. I saw the wry smile that came on your face. Absolutely.
No cheating.
Look at you.
I play it straight up. I play fair. No foot wedge in golf.
How much would you be willing to sell your soul to the devil?
I don't think I would.
To win a championship.
No, not to win a championship. I mean, I love my teams, but I'm not, you know, like, I'm not.
You play the ball down, Carm?
Do I play
the ball? No fluff in the ball? Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe I fluff it a little bit.
Well, you said no foot wedge.
Well, no, foot wedge and a little fluff is, you know.
No. It's one and the same.
I mean, I'm not Judge Smales, winner rules.
Listen, the USGA rules on golf are very specific. The royal and ancient. Okay? These rules are there for an extended period of time for a reason. You can't move your ball. You can't remove dirt from your ball until you're on the green. You're not on the fringe, on the fringe and removing mud from the ball.
I'll give you an example.
Doesn't work that way.
I'll give you an example. I told you I played Seven Bridges Friday.
Right.
I feel good. I par 16. 16's a monster.
Oh, it's a monster.
Monster at Seven Bridges.
It's a big hole.
I pipe a drive to 270. That's big for me. Pipe the drive.
Thank heavens you're doing a little bit of it.
270. And if you've played Seven Bridges on 16, there's water on. There's a hazard on the left. There's a huge lake on the right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
You know, you got nothing but trouble. And I smoked it. And then I hit a beautiful 9-iron. And then I choked the birdie putt like you wouldn't believe. Yurko would have eviscerated me.
You
but I made my
like
par.
A dog. Yurko, you gagged like a dog.
I was about 6 feet away. If the putt went 4 feet, it was a miracle, Yurko.
Oh, my.
Yurko would have killed me. But I made the par putt, Yurko.
Right.
Then I get to 17, and of course I duck hook it, right?
Right.
Hits the fence.
Clank, clank, clank.
Now, it's not out of bounds, but there I am. It's pinned up against the fence.
Right.
I got no backswing.
You've got to play it. At that point, if it's considered out of bounds, there's no relief.
The guy I'm playing with says, why don't you just go ahead and move it? I said, nope. I'm a stickler for the rules, and I just punched it out in the fairway. I took my bogey.
Was it a wooden fence?
No, it was a. It was. I shouldn't even say the fence. So what happened was it hit
up
the fence,
the hedgerow,
bounced back into play, but kind of nestled up against a tree. Because if it's by a fence, you probably do get relief.
I don't think so. Because at Medina, you don't against the fence on the par four going down the left side when you get to the corner of that street, the southeast corner of the course.
I know what you mean. The par five. I know.
Yeah, and it's to the left side.
I know what you're talking about.
You've got no relief against that fence.
Well, you certainly have no relief against the tree. And I'm a little bit of a stickler. Zetterman knows this about me. I'm a kind of a stickler for the rules.
Right.
And I said, nope, I got to play it. Now, I'm not going to lie. Do I fluff the ball every once in a while if I don't like the line? Yeah, I might fluff the ball a little
bit. Agent Fluffer
over
there.
It's a crummy line.
There's softy over here.
If I'm not playing for money, Mr. Softy. I don't mind maybe a little bit, fix it a little bit.
Right.
But
I know we're talking about A.J. Hinch. We're talking about cheating. This is where we're at. This Sunday at Glenwoody, I'm playing in the Big Cup tournament.
This
Big
weekend you are?
18 foursomes going out to play.
Wow.
Friday is the A-player draft. The A-players get together. They draft their full team. Big cup means
how
the
big
circumference
is the cup?
Of the diameter of the cup is about 10 inches.
Okay.
10 to 11 inches.
What's the normal diameter?
They're put, I think it's 4 1/4.
About 6?
If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, 4 1/4.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I don't know how you measure, Carl, but if you're laying it down and you think the cup is 6 inches, you've got major issues. I think it's either 3 3/4 or 4 1/4 is the
So it's like more than
the
double.
Diameter of the cup. It's more than double, okay. But they put it in the hardest spots in the green. Now, last year they played threesomes, like a sixsome went out. And that way everybody could keep everybody honest. This year, everybody's on their own recognizance, their own honesty.
Honor system.
Bared men.
Bared bums.
Well, you better be careful. You get some of these guys out on a golf course if you think there's going to be honesty. I mean, already with a scramble, you're going to have, you can move the ball, you can fluff up the ball, you can go ahead and create a little something.
Right.
That's already happening. Much less if a guy's chipping in and all of a sudden he's just a little bit off. That went in.
Oh.
Or the old Yurkovic trick where you lay the flag adjacent to the hole, and it hits the flag and just runs right into the hole.
And ricochets right in.
It's the old Yurkovich trick on an elevated green when nobody can see. All of a sudden, you're making 45-footers. Now, what they expect everybody to be is to be honest golfers. So we'll see.
Glenwoody's
Big Cup Sunday. Major, major tournament. Probably minus 22, 23, something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You don't always get the honest guys out there. I mean, I get it. So A.J. Hinch was...
What's worse?
He was a little dishonest.
What's worse? A guy who sandbags? You know, shoots 83 and puts down 88?
88, yeah.
Or a guy that wants to lower his score and tries to make himself better?
They're both bad, but I feel like I could deal with the hustler more than I can deal with the cheater.
You'd prefer the sandbagger?
Yeah, I'd prefer the sandbagger.
All right.
Yeah. Like I tell you, one time I got, I shouldn't say hustled because it's not like we were playing for money, but I got worked on an airplane playing chess once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Were you playing Boris Spassky?
I was playing
Kasparov.
I was playing my.
Big
I was.
Blue?
I was minding my own business, playing chess on my iPad, and the guy next to me said, "Hey, do you mind if we play?"
Yeah.
You know, not telling me that he was like a 3,500 ELO ranking. You know,
Bobby Fischer.
I knew in the first three moves I was. I'm not kidding. Like.
Yeah.
It would have been like me on the football field with Yurko. Like, I knew within three moves I was dead meat. I'm like, oh, boy, I got no chance against this
How
guy.
How could you tell? What and did he do?
Well, I mean,
did
he just
castle?
Toyed with me.
Did he castle?
Not that he
Switched
castled.
Switched the rook and the king?
He just toyed with me. And, like, you know, I could deal with the hustler more than I could deal with the sandbagger, I think, to be honest with
you.
So
the guy that wants to cheat, you know, down. Make his game better than it actually is.
Yeah, I don't like that guy as much.
Right, I agree with you. But the sandbagger's got his own issues and his own problems.
And I don't like what the Astros did. I mean, I don't. You know, like, as a baseball fan, I don't like it. I do think how much it helped, we'll never really know. But it looks bad. It feels bad.
It smells bad.
It smells bad. I think it's unfair to, you know, opponents that were playing it straight. I do not think the Houston Astros were alone in this.
Oh,
I do not.
I believe there's more than one guilty team.
I think you're absolutely right.
They won.
I know.
Right? That's what made it worse.
And I don't like that they did it, but I can
somehow justify
A.J. Hinch getting a second chance and being the manager of the team I love the most in baseball because I think he'd really help them, and I think it'd be a home run. And so I could find a way to deal with it. 312-332-3776. Terrell's in Dallas. What's up, Terrell?
A couple questions about this whole LeBron Michael thing.
Yeah,
and everybody talks about him. Is this your GOAT? and this is not no knock on LeBron or no trash talk, because I think he's the best player of today's era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's a couple stats about LeBron, Michael, and Kobe. Michael was 24-11 with 6 rings in the finals. Kobe was 23-15 with 5 rings, and LeBron with this 4th title is now 22-34 with 4 rings. You couple that with the fact that LeBron, Wade, and Bosch manipulated to stay in the East, which was a historically bad weak East. You add what Carm said earlier about 2011. That's the blemish to LeBron.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
going to get off his record.
Yep.
And the fact that they should have lost the following year. People forget the champagne was already on the side of the court.
That's right.
San Antonio was supposed to win that game if it wasn't for Ray Allen bailing them out with an amazing shot. And I'll just finish with this last point. Michael played in one of the most physical, historic eras of, at that particular time. How would Michael have fared today? I'll shut up and listen, guys.
He would have been pretty great with the way that? The rules have changed. Terrell, thank you.
Out of Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Michael with
knowledge coming from Dallas.
If
I love it.
You tell me that Michael gets to play in a league where they don't hand check, yeah, Michael would have had a field
dangerous.
Day. Yeah, would, I know. He would have. I think this title was hard. I don't want to say it was easy for LeBron. I mean, going down into that bubble, what these teams had to do, I think that was challenging.
But he was up for the challenge.
He was?
He wanted the challenge. He wanted to play basketball.
I think Yurko, he caught a break. No disrespect to Jimmy and the Heat, and I love, I mean, it's hard not to respect what Pat Riley has accomplished,
right.
What Eric Spoelstra has accomplished. I mean, it really is. I can't say I love Pat Riley. I mostly, because growing up as I did a Bulls fan, I dislike Pat Riley. But I very much respect his acumen and what he's built. I do. And I'm appreciative of Jimmy's efforts and how hard he's worked to make himself a good player. I think LeBron caught a little bit of a break not having to face Giannis and the Bucks, to be honest. Now, they're not worthy, I guess. They didn't get there. But Giannis is the best player in the East by far, if you ask me. By far. And LeBron didn't have to deal with that. You know, he didn't have to deal with Kawhi.
Again, but not LeBron's fault.
No, it's not.
That's
you're right.
It's not his fault.
You're right.
Other teams not being able to play, I would never even put that as a mark against LeBron
right.
ever.
I know.
He's responsible for his team. The East got to bring whatever they got from the East, and then they match up. If a theoretical great player who's the MVP in the league can't get his team to the championship game, that's his issue and his problem, and those are the blemishes that will remain on his record.
Yeah.
LeBron has nothing to do about the quality of competition that he's going to face. Okay? He could only match
play,
up
right.
with who he's going to match up against and play. I like the final records.
Yeah.
24-14 or 24-15 for Kobe with how many titles.
Yeah.
And then you get to LeBron's record in
so
all
he's got
the
16 wins,
games.
Right? Because
yeah.
he's won 4 titles. So
right.
he's got 16 wins stacked up against a lot of losses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, finals wins.
Right, finals wins. That's
yeah.
all we're talking about.
Well, I mean,
they probably
you'd have
lost,
more, yeah.
He's lost series like 4 to something.
Right, yeah. You're right. Yeah. So I can't remember what Terrell said that was. 20, 22 or something
yeah,
like that.
And
yeah,
and 34.
Something
it's
like
22
yeah.
and 34.
Maybe
losses.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
JD's going to join us with a Bears update in about 15 minutes. The Bears go on the road in week 6, and they are going to be a small underdog against the surprisingly feisty Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, are proving an NFL axiom that Yurko and I live by, and we'll share that with you next.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Big news as we get ready for game 2 of the NLCS later today. Braves and Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw has been scratched with a back issue.
Oh, boy.
So Tony Gonsolin will start against Ian Anderson, who's been pretty good for the Braves. I mean, everybody the Braves have trotted out there have been pretty good. Told you yesterday, going into game 1, they had only been scored upon in 1 game. They'd played 5 games in the postseason. 4 of the 5 were shutouts, and they gave up 1 stinking run last night. I mean, the Atlanta Braves pitching has been
pretty good.
Phenomenal. And they're out to a 1-0 lead. And now the Dodgers have to do it without Clayton Kershaw, who's really had a revitalization, you'd say, the kind of the season he's had. I mean, he was terrific and been pretty good in the playoffs so far. So no Kershaw tonight. And then Rays Astros, which you can hear here on ESPN 1000 after that. That's the late game tonight as the Rays look to take a commanding 3-0 series lead in the ALCS.
You said Ian Anderson is pitching tonight.
Ian Anderson is
Do you know who the other Ian Anderson is?
I do.
Oh, okay, from Jethro Tull?
That's it, yes.
Yeah, very good, Carl. Yeah.
Carl, bringing the heat, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know a thing or two. Why did you ask that question,
He goes,
Danny?
Ian Anderson is pitching tonight. I go, really, huh?
I got to say, Carl, that might be the most impressive music piece of knowledge you've ever pulled
off. I wish you would
off.
Ask that in one of the trivia That's questions right. and when I lost to Black, when I missed a couple of the music questions.
Instead of what's the band he loves so much that we always...
Yeah. Radiohead.
That's it. Radiohead.
Danny and Radiohead. My
kid loves Radiohead.
So we're going to talk
to... And who doesn't at the end of the day?
Radiohead's music is good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but, you know, enough is enough already, Zetterman. Danny's in for Merck today. Nice having Danny here. We miss Merck. He'll be back soon.
Yes.
So week six has Bears-Panthers. JD's going to join us. You know, it's been confirmed, by the way. I don't know if Bears fans missed this, but James Daniels done for the year. He's got that torn pec. So he's out. That's, you know.
Move the drill, Carl.
Move the drill.
Move
and,
the drill.
You know, now you got to go to a backup that wasn't particularly good when he had to come in spot duty last week. So we hope things get cleaned up.
Maybe he'll be better. Who's it, Alex Barr?
Yeah, we'll talk to JD. I mean, I'm assuming that's the natural
progression
here. Yeah, that Alex Barrs will be the guy that gets that spot, and he's the one who came in the Tampa game. So the Bears go on the road. They are a little bit of an underdog here. A few weeks ago, you probably would have never thought that was the case with Carolina after the 0-2 start, and they lost Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
But they're actually 3-2. They have played very well under Matt Rhule. Teddy Bridgewater's played well. I mean, he's Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's high completion percentage, Eric. Doesn't really stretch the field all that much. When he does, his completion percentage is high. He just doesn't go downfield as much. But, yeah,
he competes.
He knows that offense. I mean, Joe Brady is the next wonder boy in the NFL. He's the offensive coordinator there for Matt Rhule. And he's probably not going to be there long. And they're doing good things. The most amazing thing, though, is what they're doing. I shouldn't say amazing. Why am I saying that? The most maybe surprising thing to a lot of people is what they're doing sans Christian McCaffrey. Now, Christian McCaffrey helped me win my fantasy. He pretty much single-handedly won my fantasy league last year. And I've got him on my fantasy team this year, and I don't like that he's on my bench. But when Yurko and I tell you, don't pay running backs, we tell you that for a reason. Mike Davis couldn't get a carry with the Bears last year.
Not one carry with the Bears.
Mike Davis, in 3 weeks since Christian McCaffrey went down, is averaging 117 yards from scrimmage and nearly 5 yards per attempt, and he scored 3 touchdowns. And he's doing it against mostly heavy boxes. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, only 5 running backs in the NFL are facing 8-plus in the box more often than Davis. He's also 7th in the NFL in rush yards over expected per attempt. He has 2 total TFLs in the last 3 weeks. Mike Davis in that offense
and what was
has
he
been
here?
Rolling along.
What was he here?
He couldn't get a carry here.
Just a running back. Just another guy.
And that's
what
that's
a running back's in this
is.
League. Another guy. With opportunity, you'll gain your yardage. With blocking in front of you, you'll gain your yardage. Only the very few are exceptional and special.
Very few.
Only the very few.
And Yurko doesn't mean the very few playing in the NFL now. Yurko means the very few of the last 30 years.
Like forever.
Barry Sanders.
Last 60 years.
Walter Payton.
Jim Brown. Orenthal, James Simpson.
OJ.
You can say Sayers. But once you got to the 80s, it was Barry Sanders, and Barry Sanders was by himself.
Barry
in the 80s
Sanders.
And the 90s.
Walter, I think we said. AD, would you say Adrian Peterson? In his prime, man, he was awfully dominant.
I guess if you had to.
But there's not many, to your point. You're not talking about now. You're talking about over 40, 50 years.
60 years, to be
60
exact.
60 years. And the game has changed so much. And we tell you don't pay running backs.
We named less than 10. Yeah. Maybe 9, maybe 10 we've named. That's
and I love Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's a treat, you know?
Yeah, he is.
Nothing wrong with Chris. But you can win games even when Christian McCaffrey goes out.
You couldn't replace Barry Sanders, you know? The guy they had coming in at the red zone because Bobby Ross was a... His thoughts on goal line offense were idiotic. The guy they had coming in was not as good as Barry Sanders. For one reason or another, they just didn't like the negative runs that came along with Barry every once in a while because he thought he could do everything. But they replaced him on the goal line. That's why Barry retired, because he didn't like Bobby Ross.
Right. Replacing running backs is easier. If your quarterback gets hurt, if Teddy Bridgewater got hurt.
The difference between the starter and the second guy is a big, long way away.
I mean, anybody think the Cowboys are going to be better without Dak Prescott?
With Andy Dalton?
I mean,
the ginger-headed genius?
Ezekiel Elliott's terrific. CeeDee Lamb looks like he's going to be awesome. Mike Gallup and Amari. I mean, they got weapons everywhere.
Weapons.
Does anybody really think the Cowboys are going to be better without Dak? I don't. I mean, maybe they'll surprise us. They do have Andy Dalton, so at least you have a capable, I guess you'd say, you have a very experienced maybe backup. But most of the time you lose your quarterback, or if you lose your stud left tackle, or if you lose your stud corner or your stud pass rusher, you're probably in trouble, right? Like the drop off from that guy to the next guy is usually pretty great. It's not as dramatic with running.
It'll be difficult to hold on to first place in that division with that massive 2-3 record they have. Philadelphia and the Washington Football Club are right on their heels, Carm, with one win apiece. That division, the NFC garbage.
It's so bad.
That's what I'm going to call it, the NFC Garbage East.
Dumpster fire.
Is four, and I can't even believe this,
Carm. Counting it, you're...
It's 4-15.
9-1.
4-15.
Yeah. Well, there's a tie in there, too.
Oh, where are they?
Because the Eagles have the tie.
4-15-1.
6-9. Yeah, you have 4-15-1.
4-15-1. How pitiful is that? That is ridiculous, which makes the best division in football. Which one, Carm?
Probably the NFC West.
I'm looking
Although I don't
at
know
it.
That San Fran's that good with all the injuries and everything else.
It's compiling over there.
I mean, San Fran's two wins are against the Jets and the Giants. They don't have a win, you know? Like
14-6, that division, though. That's pretty darn good, Carm.
Boy, Waddle ranted yesterday on the Jimmy G haters. Boy, did he go off.
AFC North, 3-4-1. That's great.
AFC North's pretty good.
Who hates Jimmy G?
I don't know, Waddle. Somebody drew the ire of Waddle.
Hey, he played poorly in the game. He played poorly. It's
he did.
Okay.
That was Waddle's point. He said, you don't eviscerate the kid and say he's garbage because he had a bad half coming off an ankle injury.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know who got Waddle going on Sunday. Somebody pissed him off.
Somebody did. Well, you know, that's to help people feel good about Mitch Trubisky. Me got new bike.
Well, you know, Cap does that too.
Me got new bike. He comes into that He came into that meeting on the sideline. What game was that, Carm? He came in?
It was Thursday.
Just the one they had against Tampa Bay.
Thursday.
And there's football conversations taking place, and he comes in and goes, me got new bike. Look at me.
Hey, coach, I got a new bike.
Oh, my heavens.
It's got a horn.
Will you let the football men talk football stuff?
In a banana seat.
Wow. What the hell is Mitch Trubisky even doing?
I think that's maybe what got Waddle going. It could have been because, like, anytime Cap can knock John Lynch down a few rungs.
Oh, I know, because
he wants to make sure that, like, he's propping up his guy Ryan Pace and Mitch Trubisky. So, like,
Cap had
I think Cap might have done a take. Did Cap do a take that on Garoppolo, Danny?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, take
absolutely.
That. So I think maybe that's what got Waddle going. His old partner.
Cap loves the fact that he got benched. He was 7-17 with 77 yards, no touchdowns, two picks.
Or the pick at the end of the half. I mean, the pick he threw at the end of the half,
that was
terrible.
It was terrible.
That's like Cutler. Sylvie had the greatest line. Sylvie goes, what did Sylvie say?
He's got to be a more handsome Jay Cutler.
He goes, he's a slightly more handsome Jay Cutler.
Oh, not slightly.
Or, no, he goes, Sylvie called him, he goes, he's friendly Jay Cutler. And I said, yeah, that's pretty good. He's like a friendly, handsome version.
Honest to heavens.
Although Jay's not ugly. I mean, Jay's a good looking guy.
Nobody's saying Jay's ugly, but you put Jay and Jimmy together.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like a model.
Yeah,
it's a different world. He looks like a male model. That's true.
I mean,
he's like Zoolander. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So Sylvie goes, he's friendly Jay Cutler. And I started laughing. I'm like, that's good. Jimmy Garoppolo is like a friendlier version of Jay. Waddle's point, Waddle didn't even like that because he's like, when did Jay ever win playoff games other than one and take the Bears to a Super Bowl? But I don't know. I think Sylvie hit it on the head. Like, I don't know how much better Jimmy G is than Jay. I got to be honest. I'm not hating on Jimmy G, but I mean,
Cap compared,
maybe a little bit better.
He got to a Super Bowl.
But Cap compared Garoppolo to Rex Grossman.
Oh,
he
stop
said
it.
It was the same way that Rex Grossman got
that's
to the Super
Bowl. Now that works. That's when you know nothing about football. That's the comparison you make.
That's silly.
When you know absolutely nothing about football, you find something to compare it to.
I mean, really.
It's beyond silly.
You talk about opposite ends of the
it's
spectrum.
It's beyond silly.
That's crazy. Better. He's 10 times the quarterback that Rex Grossman.
You've got to hang up on yourself there.
He pointed out in the playoff game that he won, against who did they beat, where he only threw the ball 14 times.
Was that the Packer game?
Yeah. He only threw the ball 14 times. They were hiding
him. But he's still
him.
Better than Rex Grossman. Stop it. Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman's like number 7,000 in the QB list. My heavens.
I love the silly debates we have and how mad Waddle got. And it must have been Cap. Cap sent him off. He set him off.
We got to go to Vikings.
We'll take some calls. We will take some Bears calls if you want to chat. 312-332-3776. And, I mean, yeah, Viking Scott knows about running backs. Dalvin Cook is terrific. He gets knocked out. Madison was all just as good.
Yes.
They ran the ball all over the Seahawks on Sunday night. Viking Scott, thank you. The Vikings covered for me. Again, for the third straight week, I was on the Vikings.
I was on the Vikings.
As a dog. Cha-ching,
one
cha-ching.
Of six, seven losers.
JD's got an update on the Bears next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, Yurko's chomping on a few chips over there. By the way, thanks to Breaking good. Bread. Deli yeah. and catering. Remember when we did in the spring that small business, what would you call it?
Initiative.
Yeah, I don't want to say really maybe a contest, but like
initiative.
We were awarding a free advertising campaign to a local small business, like at the height of the pandemic. And Breaking right. Bread up in, they've got one in Cary and Crystal Lake, I believe, right? Cary and Crystal
sure.
Lake.
Carrie Fisher. Love
Carrie Fisher. Loved Carrie Fisher. Yeah. Cary and Crystal Lake, they got a couple of locations, and they were kind enough to send us some sandwiches today.
And they were delicious.
Yeah.
I had the chicken and bacon. It was fantastic.
Some salads and some sandwiches. Homemade chips.
All individual. Wrapped for those who are concerned.
And like sealed shut. They put stickers on them so yeah. they know they weren't messed with. Yeah, very nice. And those chips, man, nothing like good homemade chips with dippings, like dipping sauce you got over there, like
very
a blue
crunchy.
Cheese. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Well, it's like a ranch with more dill.
So good,
man.
Very so good. So thanks to those guys. That was really, really nice of them. Let's get out to the Corona Hotline right now. We say hi to our buddy Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com and NFL Nation. And J.D. Joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. What up, J.D.? How are you?
Good. So 100% it was Cap yesterday with Garoppolo. I can confirm that because I'm the one. I was talking with those guys yesterday morning, and I was going through the list of NFC teams that I would go through and say, okay, here are some teams that I don't think are playoff contenders, but we'll find out more in the coming weeks. And as soon as I said San Francisco,
he lit up.
Cap just launched into this Garoppolo tirade out of nowhere. So I got this take that at like that. 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, and I'm like, whoa, it's kind of early here. I got the kid not wanting to do remote learning, dog's barking. It's Monday morning, and I got a big take that on Jimmy Garoppolo, which I was not expecting because he doesn't play for the Bears. So that was, I believe he is the one that lit the fire there with Waddle. And yeah, look, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a top five quarterback, but he played pretty well for most of last year. I think his passer rating for the season, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe his passer rating for last year was over 100.
It was. It absolutely was. And I'll get the exact number, JD, but it was definitely over 100.
Now, they ran the ball. They ran the heck out of the ball. So for him to only attempt, 14 passes in that playoff game, I mean, it was unusual, but that's how they were winning.
Right.
They were
if it
playing
works,
to their strengths.
You stick it with
works.
It. Yeah.
They got to a Super Bowl. So I think I'm not sure what's going on out there with Kyle Shanahan and what they're going to do. My advice would be to make it work, but I don't think he's some terrible quarterback that was worthy of a take that rant at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
And then Waddle fired back during Waddle and Sylvie. 102 on the nose last year for his career. Jimmy Garoppolo does have a quarterback rating of 99.2 with 48 touchdown passes to 23 interceptions. So he's a little bit better than that key of 2-1. So, yeah, we'd take that here. I'll tell you that. That's what I'll take. You want me to take something?
Take that.
I'll take a 100 quarterback rating. That's for damn sure.
When's the last time the Bears ever had a quarterback that has finished the regular season with a passer rating? I mean, a guy that started like the whole year
of
100.
It wasn't the whole year, but I think the only guy to do – isn't the only guy to ever do it in a Bears uniform, Josh McCown?
I'm going to look right now.
I think –
got the guide out right now.
I think so.
What did he play,
that was 2013.
No, he played like six, eight games.
McCown's passer rating was 109.
There you go.
Now, he did not start the whole year.
How many games did he play that year, JD?
It doesn't list it in the media guide.
What year was that, JD?
2013.
All right. He played in 8 games. He started 5.
So 5 starts. So it's still a little low as far as the long term. I mean, I'm looking at Cutler's passer ratings, you know, 81.3, 86.3, 85.7, 76.8.
Ugh.
Kyle Orton in 2008, Kyle Orton did not have a bad year per se, but his passer rating was 79.6.
Wow.
So, I mean, these passer ratings don't come around. In 2006, the year that the Bears went to the Super Bowl, to use the Rex comparison.
Yeah, what was Rex's quarterback?
Rex's passer rating for the year was 73.9.
73.
So, I mean, let's kind of remember what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. We haven't seen a quarterback in Chicago to have almost a full year of a passer rating of over 100 and taking a team to a Super Bowl in probably forever.
Since we're talking about quarterbacks, I'm really going to make you look down the road here a little bit. But just since it's come up in the last day or so, JD, with everything happening in Atlanta, and you know, Arthur Blank not really committing long term after this year to Matt Ryan, even though he's got a lot of years left. Like, is there a chance the Bears kick the tires on Matt Ryan come the offseason, or can they even afford to do that after just acquiring Nick Foles?
Well, I to me, it wouldn't make a ton of sense. Oh, quickly, Eric Kramer, remember the year of
yeah,
the
95. Yeah,
he was 93.5. Right. So anyways, I'll move past the quarterback ratings. You know, I wrote about Foles and his future last week on Thursday before the game on ESPN.com, and I talked to a lot of people, and the consensus is, guys, if they're going to have a veteran quarterback next year, the quarterback that makes the most sense is Nick Foles. He just makes sense from a veteran standpoint. He's here. You know him. He knows you. He understands the offense. Now, I don't know if what Matt Ryan has been running in his career in Atlanta is drastically different than what Matt Nagy's running here in Chicago. I mean, Matt Ryan spent his best years with Kyle Shanahan, of course, as his coordinator. I'm not saying it's drastically different, but if you're going to have a veteran, it just seems like it makes sense to try to make the Nick Foles thing work beyond 2020. You could draft a quarterback. I think the problem, guys, they're facing right now with that is they're 4-1. It's been a really good year. I don't think they're going to finish 4-12. They could. I don't think so.
No, I doubt it.
So they're not going to be in the mix for Trevor Lawrence.
No.
No.
They're not going to be in the mix for the top guys. And then it kind of, and I hate to bring this up, but I think you have to, it's an uncomfortable truth, but when it comes to picking quarterbacks, this group hasn't done so well. You know, Nick Foles was a bit different trading for him because he had that relationship with Matt Nagy. The coaches all knew him. They had worked with him. So I think it was a little easier to identify him as someone that would come in here and fit as opposed to Trubisky or Mike Glennon. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you want to roll the dice and draft a guy in the first round, you can do it. But know that, okay, the track record isn't that encouraging. If you want to go with a veteran next year, great. But bringing someone else in from the outside, especially someone with Matt Ryan's age, I don't know if that's something that they're willing to do. I think if it's going to be a veteran, I think it's going to be Nick Foles.
All right.
What's the offensive guard spot look like with James Daniels out?
Well, I mean, we're going to get official word maybe today, or not today, probably tomorrow, because Nagy's not talking today. I would think probably Yurko, they'll still try to give Alex Barrs a chance. I mean, I don't think Nagy said I thought, accurately on Monday, so that was yesterday. Friday. Well, the days are run together. They played on Thursday. He thought Alex Barrs, Yurko, played well except for 2 or 3 plays when the Buccaneers got him. And they fooled him, and he missed his assignments. My guess is he's probably going to get a good opportunity here this week to practice at that position when they're back in the building tomorrow, and probably be the guy on Sunday against Carolina, unless they feel like there's a better option behind him. But, I mean, first guy off the bench is usually the first guy off the bench for a reason. Now, they're supposed to all be back tomorrow. You guys knew what happened yesterday, right?
With the
scheduling shift and everything. Again, we don't get Nagy today. We're in the middle right now of talking to assistant coaches. But the plan was for all the guys to be back tomorrow. for all the practice squad guys to be back. I don't believe the man that tested positive will be back, of course, but the practice squad, for the most part, will be back in the building so they can run a full practice tomorrow and Thursday. What Nagy said yesterday is that they had to go to a closed walkthrough because they didn't have the practice guys, squad guys in the building, and therefore they could not run the entire full practice with the scout team and stuff like that.
Mm. All right, JD, anything else we should know?
Carolina is going to be a good matchup on Sunday, don't you?
Yes,
I
mean, tough team.
I think that's a team that it's a good team. You know, for, of course, first-year head coach of Matt Rhule. You know, Teddy Bridgewater coming into his own there. I think that's going to be a great barometer, not maybe so much for the Bears, but for the Panthers. I think they're looking for a reason to believe that this is real, that they're a little bit ahead of schedule. And a win against the Bears on Sunday would go a long way towards cementing that. So I think it's not the sexiest matchup on paper, guys, but it is going to be, I think, a very good game this weekend.
Absolutely. JD, thanks. Keep up the good work, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bud. There he is, Jeff Dickerson, at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Boy, those Minnesota Vikings at 1-4, looking up at the 4-1 Bears. It's got to be tough for Vikings, Scott.
Well, I hope
point.
So.
Well,
I hope
Scotty,
so.
I've been on the Vikes the last 3 weeks as a dog. I mean, Zimmer is a dog. Cha-ching, cha-ching. So thank you for that.
That's done me a whole hell of a lot of good, Carmen. Thanks.
You're welcome.
But anyway, what was his stat with Mike Davis? He's ran for 46 yards, 84 yards, and 86 in his last three.
Look at it per average. Look at it per average.
Talking about receiving yards, too.
No, I said 117 yards from scrimmage. That's what he's averaging.
Oh,
last 3 weeks.
I just wanted to make sure we had clarification.
117 yards from scrimmage, and he's averaging like almost five yards a carry. I mean, he's filled in admirably. Let's put it that way.
So we've now lost by a point to two probably for sure playoff teams in Tennessee and Seattle.
Yes.
And, you know, Yurko mentioned this. It comes down to execution. The shame of that was the hole to the right that Alexander Madison missed was so big.
Yes.
And here's the thing. With a guy literally, Drew Samaria, our second-year right guard, that is ranked 72 out of 72 and somehow still has a job in the NFL.
I don't know.
Carmen, I think you could get by him.
Dude, it was blocked up perfectly, Scott. I mean, and like, I think Zimmer did the right thing, I'll be honest. If people don't know Sunday Night Football, they could have gone down, they could have kicked the field goal and gone up 8. You know, at least forcing then Russell Wilson to go down the field, score, and kick, and have a 2-point conversion to force overtime.
Our better part of our team is our offense.
I'm totally with you. Like, I thought Zimmer did the right thing. I said, go for it, because if they went for it, they don't even get the ball back, and they win the game right there. And it was blocked up, and Madison missed the cutback.
He had it.
They rushed for 200 yards, Scott, and they couldn't get the 1 yard they absolutely needed.
He rushed for 117 after the third quarter, after Cook went out. He ran out over 117 yards.
It's crazy. I mean, those are the ones that can sit. They suck.
It's frustrating. Our defense is young, you know, missing Danielle Hunter, and now Barr's out for the season.
Yeah.
And then Michael Pierce sat out because of COVID. So we got issues, but here's the thing. You just don't know with what's going to happen the rest of the year. You need to beat the Falcons. You go on bye week, and hopefully Cook's healthy for the rematch against the Packers.
And then we'll see. Bears still see him a couple times. Scotty, good talking, buddy. We'll see you later. I mean, the Vikings are probably better than a 1-4 team. You know, they are, Yerk. I mean, Scott's right. They've got 1-point losses to, you know, a really good Seattle team. I think at least a really good Seattle offense. That Legion of Boom is long gone. Russell Wilson and that offense is phenomenal right now. And, you know, that Tennessee team's pretty decent, I think. I don't know. We still have some questions about Tennessee, let's face it. They'll finally be back in action again tonight. But I thought Zimmer did the right thing. If you look at, like, Stats and Info tweeted something about it, about the win probability. Kicking the field goal, I think the win probability was 97.8%. Going for it and converting the fourth down bumped it up to 98%. So you're only talking about like 0.2%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty negligible. And you could have said, I guess, like just
so
kick
what
it.
Zimmer did what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's 100% loss, though, right?
Yeah, that's 100% loss.
They lost.
They lost the game.
Whatever they did, they were 100% losers.
They lost the game.
So there you go.
But I thought it was the right call in the moment. I did. I said, I think this is right. Go for it, and don't even let Russell Wilson get the ball back. And it was like, Yerk, if you looked at, I don't know if you saw the play, They blocked it. They had it. He's right here, and he falls forward. Play. It's a first down.
I've seen still shots of the play.
Brutal.
I saw the offensive lineman. One of them knocked on his keister. Yeah.
But if you're the coaching staff, you got to be thinking. That's when you've told stories about it, when the coaching staff says, well, wait a minute. We did it.
Yeah.
We called the right play.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell happened?
Well, still player execution is still there. It needs to be there.
Crazy. Hey, Coach John in Carolina on ESPN 1000. Coach John, how are you?
How are you?
Hey, guys, Carolina in the fall, nothing better.
Oh, nothing better. I mean, it's football weather in the fall, isn't it, Coach? Does it bring back memories?
Hey, if I had Watson, I'd still be coaching, right?
Yeah, probably. I think you might still be the Bears coach. You ever think about that day when Ryan Pace told you he was going to draft Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into that. He gave me Carlos Santos, it's fluid.
It's fluid.
Hey, wait, are we doing that party? What's going on with Waddle? Are we going to have that party this year? Or did that governor put a kibosh on that?
He might have put a kibosh.
I don't know.
Statewide parties at Waddle's might not be legal, Coach.
Legal, illegal. If nobody knows what's going on, does it really matter?
Hey. Coach, let me ask you. Yes, go ahead, Coach, please.
Well, I need Waddle to call me. I need his tax accountant.
Got it. I will tell Waddle to call you, Coach Fox. Let me ask you, when the Bears play Carolina, do you have a rooting interest? Is it hard for you?
Well, you know, it's fluid. I'm not going to get into that.
Yes, got it.
They run the ball. They get after it.
Yeah.
You know,
makes sense.
That's analysis, isn't it?
It's great analysis. Do me a favor, Coach Fox. Give me that sandwich and that bottle of booger.
They get after it.
We'll get all that info to you from Waddle, too. There he is, Coach Fox.
Some pies coming, too, kid. Can't wait for those pies to come.
We've got empanadas and pastelitos coming from our guy in Miami.
Maybe some frozen ropa vieja.
We got Mike and Hoffman, I think it was, who is going to be sending us some Aurelios. I mean, we cleaned up last week.
Yes, we did, Carm.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
And we got sandwiches coming at some point, too.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Danny's on the phone over there talking to Coach Fox right now.
And Carlos Santos.
Yeah, good old Carlos.
Tweak his groin a little bit.
He tweaked it a little
bit.
I'm
sure he did.
Boy, you tweak that groin, it's never a good thing.
Well, not for a kicker, Carm.
No, not
They're
for
They're really relying upon it. Did you see the great Ronaldo has contracted COVID?
I saw that. Cristiano has COVID, yes.
Yeah,
well, he's so good looking, it'll be gone in a
Kid, they just had the European
hours.
Nations tournaments last week, so he was up against France.
Oh, yeah?
So some of the greatest club players in the world were on.
Now they're all...
Oliver Giroud, N'Golo Kante, Griezmann is on France. I mean, and all the guys on Portugal, too.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
We've got problems out in Europe, Carl.
Thank you to JD for joining us today. Thanks to Jarrett Strauss and Danny Zetterman helping out for Merck today. Great job. Greeny's up next, everybody. Then Waddle and Sylvia, too. Bleck and Abdallah at 6 tonight. And then we got baseball. You'll get game 3 of the ALCS between the Rays and the Stros. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!